Many of us live in fear of getting a notice to come into the IRS for an audit. So I decided to zero in on the actual facts and maybe take away some of your concerns. Joy Taylor joins me. She's from Kiplinger, and she has worked as a tax attorney in Washington, D.C., and has a master's degree in tax law from New York University. Hi, Joy. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Steve.
So I want to talk today particularly towards retirees. How can retirees be aware of some of the red flags that may cause an IRS audit? So what is the first thing that retirees should look for to be careful of in order to undo attention from the IRS?
Well, first off, the IRS audits only a small number of individual returns every year. And in 2015, it was less than 1% of all individual returns were audited. But there are some red flags that could increase the chance that, you know, IRS will give returns of retired taxpayers some more scrutiny. And one of those is, and this applies to all taxpayers, but including retirees, are people that take higher than average deductions on their return. So essentially, I mean, if the deductions on their return are disproportionately large compared with their income, then the IRS may pull the return for review. For example, if there's an extremely large medical expense or something like that, or charitable deductions.
Right. Well, you shouldn't be afraid to claim it if, in fact, it is all substantiated, right?
Oh, right. That's true. I mean, if it's substantiated, if you have the documentation, the receipt, et cetera, no one should be afraid of claiming a deduction, because then if you're ever audited by the IRS, you have your evidence, you have your substantiation, you show it to the agent, or you mail it in if it's an audit by correspondence, and then generally you should be okay.
Yeah, but this again may cause the IRS to give your return a little bit extra attention. I guess their computer may pop it out and they may have to look, and you may get a letter from the IRS. What is another red flag that retirees should be aware of?
Well, another one is, and it has to do with, you know, again, higher than average deduction, is ones for charitable contributions. Again, if the charitable contributions are disproportionately large with the income, it could raise a red flag. And that's because, you know, the IRS does know what the average donation is for folks at, you know, various income levels. And if you're donating valuable property, there's various substantiation rules that are required, including possibly an appraisal. For non-cash donations over $500, you have to attach an additional form to your return. So there are many rules to substantiate charitable write-offs, and so IRS is looking for that.
One of the monetary aspects of being a retiree is that when you reach age 70 and a half, the government requires you to start taking money out of your IRA. So I would think that not taking your required minimum distribution, also known as the RMD, would be a red flag. Is that so?
That is a red flag. As you said, I mean, the IRS wants to be sure that owners of traditional IRAs and participants in 401ks that are retired, that they're properly taking and reporting their required minimum distributions. And those who fail to take the proper amount can be hit with a penalty. So people who are age 70 and a half and older need to start taking their distributions from their accounts. In addition, also on the IRS's radar are early retirees or others who are taking payouts from their retirement accounts before they reach the age of 59 and a half. And, you know, in addition to the fact that not taking required minimum distributions can lead to a penalty, the same thing occurs if you take distributions before you reach a certain age, and that age is 59 and a half. There are various exceptions.
Yeah, there are exceptions, but you're subject to the 10% penalty.
You are.
But again, are you talking about making sure that you declare this distribution that you've taken from your 401k or your IRA?
Yes, you have to declare the amount in addition. And many people will declare the amount, actually. That isn't the issue, because the people will declare the amount. What IRS has seen, though, in compliance projects that they've done on this, is there's a large number of people that would otherwise have to pay the 10% penalty on the early distribution or the early payout, but they're not doing so. They don't qualify for an exemption. So they'll include the amount in their income, but they forget about the 10% additional tax.
Okay. Well, retirees also are looking for extra income, so many of them may own rental properties. What red flags can be created if you own a rental property? What should you be careful to do?
Okay, so rental properties in which you're getting lots of income, those generally are not really looked at IRS. Now, however, if you're reporting losses from rental properties, and many people do because of, you know, taking depreciation, et cetera, mm-hmm. on the rental home, those do draw IRS's attention. And that's because rental losses are normally prohibited. You normally cannot take rental losses. There are two important exceptions. If you actively participate in renting your property, you can deduct up to $25,000 of the loss against your other income. That amount does phase out. Also, if you're what's considered to be a real estate professional, that means you've put in lots of time mm-hmm. on, you know, real estate activities, including rentals, then you can fully deduct your losses. So the IRS has had a project going on for years, and where they're actively scrutinizing rental real estate losses, especially those taken by people who have other large sources of income.
My guest is Joy Taylor. She's with Kiplinger.com, and we're talking about red flags for retirees. What to look out for, what to make sure, you know, you substantiate everything and then you don't really raise any serious outliers with regards to filing your taxes. Now, many retirees in their spare time will gamble. They'll go to the local reservation, they'll go to casinos and the like, they'll travel to Vegas and so on. How should they handle their gambling losses in order not to raise the red flag?
Well, generally, I mean, recreational gamblers, they have to report their winnings as income on their return, and then they're able to deduct their losses on Schedule A of the return if they itemize only up to the amount of their winnings.
Doesn't seem fair. That never seemed fair to me. I mean, if I don't have any losses, I have to declare my winnings, but if I have losses, I can only deduct them against my winnings. Just not fair. I'm just going to say that. Continue, please.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And then some people, I guess, in order to claim losses, or maybe they feel like they're gambling a lot, so maybe they try and consider themselves as professional gamblers.
Yeah. Okay, so how does that work?
Well, to be a professional gambler, I mean, you do have to put in much more time. And then you file or you report your income and your losses on Schedule C. You're able to deduct the losses if you're a professional gambler. In addition, you're able to deduct your, you know, travel to, let's say you go to Las Vegas, you're able to deduct your plane, your hotel, et cetera, provided you have the substantiation.
Right. You're treating it like a small business. So you get to deduct all of these things on Schedule C and so on. But I guess as a gambler, you'll know if you're a professional or not. So don't pretend to be one if you actually are not one, because that'll probably really raise the red flag and maybe raise the ire of the IRS. My guest is Joy Taylor. She's with Kiplinger.com, and she was here to talk about raising the red flag. Be careful of those red flags when it comes to putting in your tax return. Thanks, Joy.
Thank you.
So to hear more about this and to join our conversation, don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com. That's P-O-M-E-R-A-N-Z.